If you would turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, the chapter is 6, and the verse is 8. That is going to be our scriptural text on this evening. Isaiah, the chapter is 6, and the verse is 8. There the Bible reads, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me." We can see from our scriptural text that God was looking for someone to send, and with the five-word response, we can see from Isaiah both a willingness and also a desire to do anything the Lord would ask of him. When I was in Arizona, I worked at an apartment complex, and I was a maintenance supervisor there, and the apartment complex was 411 units. Now, for every 100 units, you're supposed to have one maintenance tech. So one supervisor, three techs, four for a 411 unit property. Well, we never had that. We always had two, maybe three techs. And it definitely made things a lot more difficult knowing that we had work fit for four men, but really only two or three men at times were available. And sometimes the company would send workers within the company from one property to another, and we had that situation happen where one guy was sent to our property, and in 40 days of working for the company, he only worked a full 7 days because he always had something coming up. He always had something that was keeping him from doing his job and doing it to the best of his ability. So, you know, I talked to my manager and I said, you know, I'll train someone. If I have to train someone, I'll train someone. I just need someone to be available. And we can see this in the workplace, but we can also see it in sports. I mean, you know, you have athletes with all this talent, but what good is a talented player if they are never available to display those talents? So with these things in mind, this evening we're going to be studying the subject, the best ability is availability. The best ability is availability. And of course, this is going to be in our regards to serving the Lord. And we're going to have 3 points, and the first of which is actually just that. We must be available to serve God. We must be available to serve God. Are we ready and are we available to do anything God wants us to do? And if not, then why not? Not only do we see an availability from Isaiah, but I would also like us to turn our attention to some fishermen in the book of Mark. The chapter is 1, and we're going to read verses 16 through 20. Mark, the chapter is 1, and the verses are 16 through 20. There the Bible reads, "Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who were in their boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him." Peter and Andrew left their nets, which was a necessary tool for their line of work, and they did so to immediately follow Jesus. James and John, who were mending their nets, they left their boat, they left their employees, and they even left their father to follow Jesus. And it has been said that it doesn't appear that the apostles were very good fishermen because they seem to always either be casting their nets or mending their nets. But irregardless, God definitely made them very good, some of the best fishers of men that we have ever seen. Jesus called them, and they came. Now, is this us? Would we drop what we are doing for the King and His kingdom? Brethren, we must be a living sacrifice, and that's exactly what we read in Romans, the chapters 12 and the verses 1. In Romans chapter 12 at verse 1, it says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship or spiritual service." So what does it mean to be a living sacrifice? It means to be wholeheartedly committed to the Lord. to have our lives set apart to the service of the Lord. This is not a one-time sacrifice. God says that we must be a living sacrifice. Therefore, this is a lifetime of sacrificing for the Lord. Sacrificing carnal things for spiritual things. Sacrificing our will for the Lord's will. Sacrificing time for the King and the kingdom. We must have a willingness also to be available for God. We must have a willingness. Isaiah did not only make himself available to the Lord, but he was willing to go where God sent him. You see, we could be the best teacher. We could be the best encourager. We could be the best servant in the kingdom. What good is that if we are not able and if we are not willing to do those things? We make time for the things that we care about. We make time for the things that we are passionate about. And if we don't have time for God, and if we don't have time to be doing the things that we know that God expects us as Christians to be doing, then, brethren, we must check our hearts and see if they truly belong to the Lord. So we must be available to serve God. And our second point on this evening is this: we must be available to serve others. We must be available to serve others. We have to be readily available to serve our brethren. As Jesus makes clear to us in Matthew chapter 25 and the verses are 31 through 46, in serving others, we are serving Him. So how do we serve our brethren? By guiding one another spiritually, by encouraging one another, by taking on one another's burdens. I'd like us to look at the book of Romans. The chapter is 12, and we're going to read verses 9 through 15. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 9 through 15. Excuse me. There the Bible reads, starting in verse 9, "Let love be genuine. Abhor evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." God calls Christians to love one another with brotherly affection, to outdo one another in showing honor, to contribute to the needs of the saints, to seek to show hospitality, to rejoice with those who rejoice, and to weep with those who weep. Basically, one thing that we can take from these verses that we read is be involved in one another's lives. This is the message that we should take. We are all members of one body, and as a result, we should rejoice with those who rejoice, and we should weep and strive to comfort those who weep. And not only that, we must also keep one another pure. Isaiah served his fellow Israelites by telling them what they needed to hear, and we cannot hesitate to do the same, but we must do so with love. We cannot hesitate to tell one another what we need to hear. If we see error in one another's lives, we cannot hesitate to point out that error, but doing so in love, doing so humbly, not with this pointing out the speck while we have the log type of attitude. That's why Jesus speaks against that. We must do and we must correct with love. And we have to be readily available to serve our family. We have to be readily available to serve our brethren. We have to be readily available to serve our family. And we serve our family by being spiritual guides to and for them. I want us to look at what Jesus says in Mark chapter 6, and the verse is 4. Mark, the chapter is 6, and the verse is 4. Jesus says, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household." Brethren, we have to be willing to display the love that Christ displayed. If we have family members that are also members of the Lord's body, we must encourage them to remain faithful. If we have family members who are in the world, then we must be the living examples that God expects us to be and encourage them to give their lives to Christ. We must be looking for, we must be making ourselves available to take advantage of the opportunities to let our light shine to those who seek to put it out. When we think about Jesus and when we think about his immediate family, they didn't believe who he was, right? They said, you know, this man's out of his mind. You know, why is he acting like this? Why is he doing these things? Because they didn't believe. But we see, as a result of reading the book of James, as a result of reading the book of Jude, as the things that we see in the book of Acts, that even those among his family became faithful followers of his. But Jesus had to be available. Jesus had to continue to push through to serve his God, to serve those around him by telling them what they needed to hear, to serve his family by being that godly example that God wanted him to be. And we have to be readily available to serve the lost. We serve the lost by bringing them the gospel of Christ. We can't just care about the people in this room. We have to care also about the lost souls in the world around us. As Christians, as servants of the Most High God, part of our responsibility is to have a love for souls that God has for souls. We display that love when we make the effort to tell them what they need to hear, just as someone told us what we needed to hear, just as Isaiah told Israel what they needed to hear. So we must be available to serve God first and foremost. We must also be available to serve others, and we must be available, our third and final point, to receive God's blessings. We must be available to receive God's blessings. God promises eternal blessings to those who are faithful. God is going to bless us with the things that we need in this life, absolutely. But more importantly, God will bless those who are faithful to him with eternal blessings. Look at 2 Timothy, the chapter is 2, and the verse is 10. 2 Timothy, the chapter is 2, and the verse is 10. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. We read here something that is all throughout the Scriptures, that salvation is in Jesus and with it eternal glory, as we read here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 at verse 10. It is ours to obtain if we are available and if we are in position to receive it. So what if one is unavailable to receive those blessings? Well, how would one be unavailable to receive the eternal blessings God promises? Well, I'd like us to look at the book of Matthew. The chapter is 21, and we're going to read verses 28 through 32. Matthew, the chapter is 21, and we're going to read verses 28 through 32. There we read, "What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterwards he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, 'The first.' Jesus said to them, 'Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your mind and believe him.'" Here Jesus asks the question, which of the two did the will of his father? And the answer to that question, as we read, is the first, who was initially against doing what was expected of him by his father, but then went and did what he was told. Now, haven't we seen a similar statement by Christ in regards to doing the will of the Father? Look at Matthew chapter 7 at verse 21. Matthew 7 at verse 21, Jesus says, Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus said, he asked a question. Who did the will of their father? Well, the first. Because initially he did not do it, but then he went on to do it. And Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, just because we call Jesus Lord doesn't mean that we're going to heaven. We have to be doing the will of the Father who is in heaven. If we are not doing the will of the Father, and if we do not continue doing the will of the Father, that is how we make ourselves unavailable to receive the eternal blessings God has prepared for us. You know, the property that I worked at before I moved out this way, you know, there was a time where that property was struggling, and through good leadership and hard work, we were able to bring that property up to a position that it had never been at before. And as a result of that, corporate had scheduled to, you know, take the crew out to lunch, right? And one of the guys that I worked with, he did some not so smart things and broke his hand on the job. So, you know, he got workman's comp and they said, well, we don't want you coming back until you're able to, you know, do everything that you need to do, which requires two hands. So as a result of his error, he missed the opportunity to have that lunch, you know, which was a pretty expensive lunch that, you know, that corporate paid for us. But, you know, he didn't do the things that he needed to do to be in the position that he should have been in. And if we want to be in a position to receive those blessings, then we must be where we're supposed to be. In 2017, there was a total solar eclipse. Now, me being in Arizona, I did not have the luxury that many of you had being in this area, because this was one of the parts of the country that got a good glimpse of that total solar eclipse. You know, we just kind of, they told us to make all these devices, and this is a way that you can see it, but, you know, just, it's the sun and it's Arizona and it's hot, and I didn't really bother with it. But, you know, to see that total solar eclipse, you had to be in the right position, right? I mean, it was crazy because in Arizona, I mean, it dropped like 15 degrees. It got like 15 degrees cooler for a few minutes. But outside of that, we really didn't get to experience the total solar eclipse. And I wasn't in the right place at the right time to see what others got to see. But if I want to see the eternal blessings God has planned for His people, then all of us, must be in the right place at the right time. And brethren, the right place is the Lord's church, doing the Lord's will. And the right time is now, until the day we die or the Lord comes again. So where do you stand on this evening? Are you available for the Lord? And more importantly, are you making yourself available for the Lord? Again, the best ability is availability. We can be a great teacher. We can be a great encourager. We can be a great servant in the kingdom of God. But unless we are available, unless we are making ourselves available to do so, it's no good. So if you're here this evening and you are not a Christian, understand that you need to become one. God wants you to become one. We want you to become one. And that is, you become a Christian by obeying the gospel, which starts by hearing God's word, which you have done on this evening. Do you believe it? Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent and turn away from the evil in your life, turn to God, allow Him to guide you, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and rise up to walk in newness of life? If you're willing to do that, salvation can be yours today. And if you have already obeyed the gospel, how available are you for the Lord? What are you doing to glorify God? What are you doing to serve God? What are you doing to serve your fellow man, your brothers and sisters in Christ? Serve the lost who need to hear the truth. If there's anything that you are dealing with, anything that you are going through, you have the opportunity to make that right with God today by praying to Him and asking Him for forgiveness, by repenting and turning away from the evil, turning back to God, and by asking for prayers on your behalf from your brothers and sisters in Christ. If there is any need that you have, if you simply just need prayers, if there's anything that you're struggling with, we invite you to come forward. While together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.